You may already know that SiriusXM brings you the deepest variety of commercial-free music for every genre and every mood, where you hear the biggest names in talk, entertainment, and comedy, and hundreds of hand-curated music channels designed to fit every mood.
Where you get news from every source, where you can listen to the newly launched Fish Radio, in addition to Jam On, Grateful Dead Radio, Pearl Jam Radio, Tom Petty Radio, and many more. Where you can listen to top comedy channels such as Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio and Netflix's A Joke Radio and Sports Talk Radio from Barstool to ESPN and more to keep you up to date on the latest news in the sports world.
Most people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. Subscribe now to listen outside the car on your phone, online, and at home, and get your first 3 months for just a dollar. And if you're a Fish fan, which you probably are, you can get tour updates and shows being played, which are a good complement to our quick hits. Visit SiriusXM.com/HFpod to see offer details and to subscribe and start listening today. SiriusXM, no car required.
Hi friends, it's the Helping Friendly Podcast quick hit for the second night of Fenway, which was July 6, 2019. This is Brad. I'm here with our internet and real life friend, Josh. How are you, man?
Hey Brad, how you doing?
Thanks for, I'm doing well, thanks. And thanks for coming on for the quick hit. You are on your way home from after attending both nights of Fenway, right?
Yeah, I caught both shows.
Awesome. And we're here to only talk about last night, but you can tell us about Friday as well if you'd like. But how was just give us really the first question is just give us the general breakdown of the scene and the venue.
Well, the scene was a thunderstorm. I guess a couple hours before showtime. The big thunderstorms kind of rolled into Boston, so started getting word about an hour or two, I think, before gates that they were going to be opening gates up early. I think they originally wanted to get the first set in early, as opposed to delay the entire thing. They thought maybe they could get a set in before the first band of thunderstorms rolled through. That did not turn out to be the case. So, I actually made it in around 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's early.
It was just dumping rain. But
so you're just in the stadium, yeah, or just, in the park hanging out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from the Boston area. I've been to Fenway probably hundreds of times, so I knew I wanted to just get in and not hang out under the concourse, but just find a place in the grandstand. So at least I wasn't kind of smushed in with everybody underneath the stands.
Nice.
And just found a comfortable spot to hang out for a couple hours as we waited for the storm to clear.
Yeah, and then they came on. I mean, they started like closer to 8:30-ish. Is that right?
Yeah, I want to say they started around 8:30. Like, the communication from the band wasn't awesome during the delay. I think they tweeted out a couple times. At some point, word got around that they were just going to be playing a single set. And I want to say it was probably around 8 o'clock, about a half an hour before the set actually started, that they finally let people onto the field and back into kind of the lower bowl section of the stands. Right around 8:30 is when the set started.
So, I know Friday night I saw from your tweets that you were like on the field, which is the outfield, I guess. Same spot for you at second night or what?
No, the first night I was actually down, the first night I was down hard mic side. And then for the second set, I kind of moved up and I was kind of dead center in that front section. Last night I was in section C7. I was basically like standing where the third baseman would play.
Okay.
in the infield dirt. So about as far back as you can get on the field while still having a field seat. But perfectly fine vantage point. Not quite as loud as being down front, but
yeah,
sounded really good. I really didn't have any complaints about the sound quality across both shows, which I know was kind of an issue the first time they played Fenway 10 years ago.
Yeah, this is the third time they played, so it looked like they had added some speakers from 10 years ago or so. It was May of 09. They probably learned from playing Wrigley too, right, and some other places like that aren't necessarily concert.
Yeah, they had like this whole second bank of speakers. Actually, I was standing last night directly under one of the speakers, that kind of that second bank of speakers that were kind of right around the infield and angled out into the stands.
Yeah.
So I would assume, again, I didn't sit in the stands for either of the shows, but I would assume the sound was probably a bit better. I actually saw Pearl Jam at Fenway last September, and I was like deep under the grandstands. But also for that show, it was a different type of kind of, you know, second bank of speakers, but they had, you know, kind of a similar, you know, second set of speakers towards the back. And,
right,
you know, not great sound, but it certainly helps when you have that second ray.
Sorry. Dealing with children, of course. So, anyway, let's get into the show. Well, did you spend a lot of time, I guess before we do that, you spend a lot of time, you know, walking around the Fenway and kind of the outside of the stadium scene?
Not yesterday, because okay, it was pouring.
Right.
I did some more of that, on Friday night, but yesterday you really just had to either be inside a bar or a restaurant or inside a Fenway.
Right.
Otherwise, you're going to be
not much going on. Sure, sure. Cool. it kind of takes away from the experience generally, but at least they didn't cancel the whole show, which was kind of floating around as well as a possibility, I guess.
Yeah, it seemed like that was a concern at some point in the evening.
Nice. All right, so instead we get a show that opens up with Carini, just a single set show, which 19 songs. I mean, it's a hefty single set. It's like a set and a half, I guess. Or, you know, if it were 2003, I guess it could be like six sets. But about 19 songs that started with Carini. So how was it? Were people anticipating it, or were people still pouring in when they or coming in when they opened, or what?
No, I mean, you know, I think one of the advantages, if any, of having a long rain delay is the stadium was completely packed.
Nice.
For the first note. I mean, everybody was already in there. Everybody was ready. So, hey, good song right out of the gate to get the crowd pumped up.
Sure.
After a very long rain delay.
Sure. 7.5 minute Carini, nice and solid and rocky, rockish.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Yeah, it was smart, but it was a, you know, song or a show opener, Carini, so not going to complain too much about the length. Got everybody dancing and, you know, ready for the rest of the show.
And the possum, I think they're trying to keep the energy up with the possum. Did it work? How was it? Were people still dancing?
Yeah, again, I thought actually, you know, Carini and the Possum for the first two songs was a great way to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
No complaints. Both pretty straightforward, straight ahead versions, but to that point, I was enjoying it.
What, and then the three slot, we get a lengthy Set Your Soul Free. Anything that sticks out to you from that?
No, I mean, I thought that was actually possibly the highlight of the show.
Okay.
If not one of, you know, my top two or three moments. It was, you know, nice and long, and they explored a couple different spaces. You know, at that point in the show, with the rocking Carini Possum opener and then Set Your Soul Free, I had pretty, you know, I guess my expectations went up after that kind of trio of songs opened up. particularly sure. with, you know, some decent exploration in the three spot. Seemed like we were in for what could have been a above average show.
Could have been. I like it. Set Your Soul Free, though, is fun. It's one of the newer jam vehicles, you know, 13 minutes is a pretty hefty one, so that's good. And then next is Thread, which I think was only like the fourth time played, if I'm correct about that. The fourth time, first time since 2018, about a year ago. Kind of a bust out. Surprising. Did you like it? How was it accepted?
I really enjoy that song. I don't think it was probably the best reception from the crowd because it's a bit of a rarity. I'm really psyched that they played it. I think it's a great song. I think it could definitely go places if they get more comfortable with it and play it a bit more. And it's also nice to see a song like that when they, you know, now have all of the new, you know, Catswat rock songs and all of the new Ghost of the Forest songs that they're still, you know, digging back to some other relatively new rare songs and pulling them out. So I was psyched to hear Thread, and I thought it sounded great, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, part of the Steam trilogy too that Tom told us about, I guess, at Baker's Dozen.
That's right.
Yeah, part of that. So that's really cool. I've never seen it, I don't think. So, but as you're mentioning the newer songs, the Catspot Rock and the or Voxed and the Ghost of the Forest, it's really, really some, other than Set Your Soul Free, some older songs until About to Run, which we'll get to. But Thread was followed by Wolfman's, which I thought had some legs for a while. It wasn't even 10 minutes, but I thought it could have been an amazing version that maybe they cut short. I don't know. How'd you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think once you get into Wolfman's, you sort of get into maybe the theme of the show, which was songs that, particularly when they're playing one long set, to be a little nitpicky, you know, I felt like they played a number of different songs that really could have been allowed some more space to breathe and develop. And, you know, for the 9 minutes of Wolfman's, it was great and enjoyable. And, you know, I just wish they had pushed it for another 5 minutes or so.
Sure.
You know, it was good, but it was pretty standard.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, they're getting really efficient. Right. And, at exploring quickly and getting to a cool place. And I don't know if Trey just wants to move on or they don't really stick around. That kind of been the theme, I think, for the summer. But at the same time, nothing seems to be repetitive to me. Like, it's not rote. They get to different places a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, we can always complain about a 9-minute Wolfman's, but we got to appreciate it too, right?
Yeah, no, and I agree with, like, your thoughts of, like, the theme of the summer. It does seem like the band is much better at very quickly getting to an interesting place in songs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I mean, like the Fuego from Friday Night, you know, right after the compose section, they, you know, started exploring interesting and new places for that song, which were completely different than the Fuego that they had played in Bangor.
Yep.
I think Wolfman's got there. It was, you know, it was a little bit more what you would expect from a Wolfman's jam, but it was
right.
It was good. No, you know, no real complaints.
Nice. And then, so next was the Reba. Again, kind of a short 11-minute Reba, no whistling. But you can't, I find it hard to complain about a Reba. I don't know how you felt about it.
No, Reba's kind of become a relatively rare song. I don't know how many times I've seen it in 3.0, but I'm sure I could count them on one hand.
Not enough, yeah.
A Reba is always welcome for me.
Nice. Back on the Train, Mound, I thought they were both kind of standard. I don't want to just speed through them, but anything stick out to you?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I was kind of viewing, you know, you kind of start thinking, all right, they're playing one long set. What kind of feel yeah. does the set take. And to me, there was very much kind of a first set slash second set break, which we're kind of coming up to, you know, before, the run of songs before Down With Disease, basically. I kind of, these felt like late first set.
End of the first set,
standard
right.
versions of, right. yeah, exactly, of pretty standard songs.
Yeah, I think that's, I think there's a natural break here.
Like,
yeah.
was about to run the next.
Yeah, so About to Run would have been probably the, you know, the set one closer. Naturally,
exactly.
Yeah, and it's a scorcher as always, and we've talked about it. But Trey's tone on that song is incredible, I think, and he seems to like it too.
Yeah, no, that was great, and again, you're there during this, you know, one set show, and you're kind of thinking, all right, like, you know, what are the contours of the set, and where are they going, and. It definitely felt like About to Run was kind of the quote-unquote first set closer, right. even before they started playing Down With Disease. It was just sort of like the high-energy peak
sure.
of the, you know, the first half of the set.
Yep, and looking at it on paper, it would seem like that would have been the break anyway. So, and Down With Disease, they'd love to open the second set with it, so...
It's the dreaded second set opening Down With Disease.
Dreaded. We're such assholes.
Which, and literally, I mean, you know, the only reason I complain about it is just because it's predictable. But look, it always leads or often leads to a fantastic jam and a great exploration. And so
I've had the conversation with myself many times. Yeah, exactly. Why am I complaining about this? Because it's always going to be a good jam. But,
and then they just hit, you know, those great kind of closing chords of the song heading into the jam, and it's
mm-hmm.
it's, you know, great uplifting, you know, power fish.
It is. Good at 14 minutes. I mean, it was the long song of the show. So, you know, the jam, as far as length goes, you know, it starts the quote unquote second set, like we mentioned, followed by a simple. Which I always enjoy. In the second slot, what would be the second slot of the second set, it could really be taken places. But the second set the second set, for whatever reason, they've really packed some songs into a second set instead of kind of just exploring and not complaining. It just seems to be the case.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, and I don't know if it's because, you know, Fish was up and down in the bullpen during the rain delay and all of the up and down warming up and sitting back down and warming up. They just kind of ran out of some energy.
Maybe,
But, yeah, it's just, you know, they're not heading into, like, the show when they wake up in the morning thinking about playing a one long set. And then they kind of find themselves playing one long set and, you know, kind of lost a little creativity and a little bit of steam
sure.
after the simple. And, you know, the simple was, not to call a song too short, but, you know, they seem to have found a nice place in it
mm-hmm.
during, like, that last minute. You know, that kind of really beautiful, delicate... you know, simple jam, and then it just sort of, you know, fizzled away.
And then you get Number Lined, which people like to complain about. I fucking love the song, but it finds its way into these kind of, like, popping up when people want things to extend. It finds its way into starting up.
Yeah, and, you know, personally for me, it was my second Number Line in 3 summer shows, so...
Yeah.
And both coming late in the second set. So not ideal, but it's okay.
It's hey, Trey likes it, and that's all that matters. But followed by, you know, standard Number Lines, almost 7 minutes, followed by Death Don't Hurt Very Long, which was the fourth of the summer. And short, just over 3 minutes, but fun and kind of starts the energy back up, hopefully. Although Number Line always ends on such a high note. Anyway, so what were you thinking?
Yeah, I thought that kind of run of songs was, now it kind of felt like we were firmly in, like, the fourth quarter of what would be the second set, but kind of early to be in the fourth quarter of a second set.
Yeah, only about four songs in, right?
You know, a 13 minute Down With Disease and an 8 minute simple.
Right.
And we're kind of off to the races in a, you know, jukebox fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's accurate. It's a short 46 days that follows Death Don't Hurt Very Long. Just not even 6 minutes, and we've seen that obviously longer. So, but you can never complain about What's the Use, which followed. So, how were things going at that point? Did it rain again at all after the initial storms?
No. Like when we were led onto the field, it was raining, but not really heavy. And I would probably say by about halfway through the set, it stopped raining.
Nice.
So it actually, other than the rain delay, not a whole lot to complain about the weather. It ended up pretty dry. We were able to take off, you know, raincoats and ponchos and just enjoy the show.
And was What's the Use a standout to you?
Yeah, I mean, I've only heard that live a handful of times. What I found interesting about that is, you know, I always think back to the Magnavol version where, you could hear a pin drop. You could hear a pin drop during the quiet part. And to me, last night's, I mean, the crowd was incredibly loud during the first half of the song, like the opposite of the Magnavol crowd, which isn't surprising. You're in the middle of, you know, Boston, in the middle of Fenway Park.
Right.
But then after, like, the roar of the crowd during the first half of the song, people did get pretty quiet for, you know, a few of the more delicate, you know, parts of the last half. So it was kind of up and down.
Right.
Not the best version of What's the Use, but I'm always happy to hear it.
Yeah, it's for that, I guess, like you were mentioning, just for that kind of crowd, it's a tough song for them to get through. But again, you can't complain about them playing it.
No.
Followed by Mexican Cousin, which is kind of a weird spot for the song, but okay, you know, not even 2.5 minutes according to Live Fish.
I can check that off my song scene list. So
that's all that matters, right? Yeah.
That's fine.
And then, you know, they start to end the show with the 2001 Into the Melt, and then close with Susie. Strong trio of songs to close. That was almost 20 minutes, or no, over 20 minutes long. Were they highlights to you? I know you mentioned that Set Your Soul Free was one of the highlights. Anything at the end of the show here that stuck out?
Yeah, I would say the 2001 Into Melt was probably my other big highlight, other than the Set Your Soul Free, and I guess, you know, Down With Disease. I actually hadn't seen Melt live since 1998.
Oh, awesome.
So I hadn't seen it in 2.0 or 3.0. I guess just a quirk of my shows that I've been to.
Yeah.
So my first Melt in 21 years, I was very, very psyched to hear it. And it was a short version, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought they kind of got to a great dark Melt place pretty quickly.
Nice, yeah.
And then also I felt like they stuck the landing at the end, you know, bringing it back to, you know, the closing chords of Melt. So I thought 2001 Into Melt was, you know, to me it saved the show a bit for me.
I remember, and I don't know if you do, last time you and I spoke on the podcast, you talked about, I think you were chasing Melt, or we were mentioning that some people chase it, you know. But it's funny that now it's all come full circle. You got to hear it last night, and that first time in 21 years, which is really cool.
Wait, and if I recall, during that podcast, did you mention Melt as a song that nobody's ever chasing?
Yeah, I was like, I don't remember people, you know, chasing Melt. Yeah, and you're like, what? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
And maybe it's because I've seen it enough. Yeah, no, it's really cool. That's awesome. I love it. And then you got to close with a strong Susie. 8 minutes. I mean, that's as long as a Susie gets, I think. Was it a lot of energy?
I mean, you know, if I'm writing the set list, you know, instead of melt and then a 8 minute Susie, I just have an 18 minute melt. But
right.
I don't write the set list. So
turns out you don't.
Good. Yeah. It was high energy. You know, I was standing in the middle of my favorite ballpark in the world, you know, right near where Rafael Devers fields ground balls at third base, listening to my favorite band play Susie. How could I possibly complain about that?
That's great. That's great.
It was great.
So the encore is Rise Come Together and Wilson. I was surprised. Rise Come Together could also, one of the newer jam vehicles it could be, but they also can cut it off, you know, before the 5 minute mark, and that's
what they did. Yeah. I think I tweeted during the show. I think you responded to it. Like, I really don't like this song.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if I had seen it live before, but it just started up, and you know, I'd probably only listened to the song all the way through once or twice, because if I ever listened to it on a download, I probably hit fast forward.
Being
at a show with no choice but to listen to the entire thing, it really hit me that I hate it. It's not a good Fish song, in my opinion.
You're allowed. Everybody's allowed to have their own opinion, even if it's bad. Yeah.
Yep.
But then Wilson, Wilson, you could switch Susie and Wilson, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought, great song to play before 37,000 people in the middle of Fenway Park.
Right.
You know, I think only the most jaded of Fish fans would not be psyched to hear that at Fenway.
Nice. Well, I'm glad it worked out for you yesterday. Weather be damned, but it was a good two-night run. I mean, you glad you made it?
I had a blast. You know, I kind of feel like I'm at this point, you know, in my Fish fandom where, you know, it's a show that I will probably never ever listen to again. Maybe with the exception of the Melt and the Set Your Soul Free and the Down with Disease.
Okay.
But while I was there, I had a fantastic time. I can go to average or below average Fish shows these days and just have fun. And nothing wrong with that.
No, and that's the point. You're not going to get the historic show every time you're out. So. And they did what they could. I was thinking, and this is kind of, I texted RJ that I find the band when they're focused or when they have a set time limit or they're focused on something that they have to do, that they really do it well. And I was hoping that this limited time frame was going to really make them push and do something. But yeah, I think you're right. It was an average show.
Yeah, I would say so. And I mean, basically through half the show, I was just hoping that they would play less than 16 songs during the set, because I had bet Greg that they'd play under 16. But
they played 19. You were even close.
I owe him some beer.
That's good. That's good to owe somebody a beer. It's fun. All right, Josh, man. I didn't mention your Twitter handle at the beginning, but you're at Nola Sox. On the Twitter, and
that's me.
And I appreciate you taking the time. Have a safe drive home, and hopefully talk to you soon, either on Twitter or in real life.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brad.
So we forgot, though. We have one final thing. You got to tell us. I think you've mentioned about three highlights, but which one of them do you want to hear at the end of the quick hit here?
I would go with the Melt.
Let's do it. I think that's a great choice. All right. Thanks, everybody. And thanks, Josh. And I'll talk to you soon.
Now here's a brief moment on another great podcast from the Osiris Network. All of our podcasts can be found at osirispod.com.
Hey now, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. No Simple Road is part of the Osiris podcast family. We're a weekly podcast that brings you in-depth and open, honest conversations with the musicians, artists, authors, and luminaries of the psychedelic, jam band, improvisational music, and festival communities. We bring you inside the lives of the four of us that do this show, myself, Melanie, Apple, and Ryder. We bring you onto the porch and what it's like to live inside the long, strange trip. So if you like to laugh, if you like to have fun, if you like to learn stuff, come hang out with the No Simple Road crew on the porch and listen to No Simple Road on the Osiris Podcast Network.